Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome back to the All In Podcast, episode 58. I am one of the co-hosts, Mike Badzik, joined by my boy, Eli Cooper. What's going on today, man?
Not much, man. Not much. We have some shutdowns going on here in PA.
Yeah.
So we are, especially, I think we could probably thank York, which is where I live in Lancaster, for that.
Yeah.
As we are the two highest areas for new cases and deaths. So, you know, yep. It is what it is. Tom Wolf is taking matters into his own hands. He got sick announced that he tested positive a couple days ago. He said, "I'm putting shutdowns on all you bitches," and here we are. So, social media has been entertaining, to say the least.
Yep, and looking at the trends in Ohio, it's not much different than Pennsylvania. We're kind of in the wild, wild west out here, so we're not forced to shut down. I think a lot of people are trying to be responsible, doing their own thing, me being one of them. So stay safe out there, guys. It's getting crazy with the holidays. We are this close to a vaccine, so if you can just hold out a little longer, I think that's the message that some of these politicians need to be pushing, is we're really close.
Right.
So we've got an NFL-packed show today. Week 14, heading into week 14, huge for playoff implications, huge for fantasy implications. So we want to talk about a lot of these games and do some picks and tell you guys what we think. We do want to remind you guys, we are presented by mybookie.ag. Head on over to mybookie.ag to place some bets. Maybe after you listen to us talk about these games, you want to place some bets. Mybookie.ag, use the promo code ALLINPOD to get a 100% sign-up bonus. And let them know that we sent you. So mybookie.ag, promo code ALLINPOD. Place your bets on the games this weekend after you hear our expert opinions.
Yes.
So we want to start with the Thursday night game that happened last night. The Rams beat up on the Patriots, getting some revenge from their Super Bowl loss. Really was not close at any point, really. Pats had a chance there, and then they threw that pick six. And Rams ended up winning 24-3. Thoughts on what you saw last night?
Pretty much went as expected, I would say, given how bad this Patriots offense is. If they play any kind of a good defense, these are the results that you're going to see.
Yep.
I think, you know, there's a lot of, like, blame on Cam Newton. But Jared Stidham wasn't much better besides his completion percentage.
Yep.
You know, but other than that, he, you know, 5 for 7, 27 yards. That's not moving the football. So, right. Really, if they can't run the ball effectively, they're not going to be able to move the ball against good teams. And it's why they're sitting at 6-7 right now. And on the outside, looking into the playoff picture, because they can't throw the football. And in today's NBA, NFL. Wow.
Couple weeks, we'll get there, Coop.
Yeah. 11 days. But yeah, so, you know, in today's NFL, that's what you have to be able to do. And again, it's not solely on Cam Newton. You know, these receivers really aren't any good. You know what I mean? They have young, unnamed receivers who don't create separation. They don't really have a tight end threat. You know, you could argue that, like, James White is probably, you know, their most consistent receiving threat, but he's a running back, so he can only do with so much. So, you know, Aaron Donald was dominant last night, as expected. And, you know, the Rams defense kind of just carried them through this one, in a game that we probably all expected to go the way that it did.
Yeah. I think if you guys have been listening to me this season, you probably know that I really like the Rams. This year, I like the team that they have, the defense that they have, and I really do not like the Patriots that much because of the inability to throw the ball, to come from behind. And it's not, you're right, it's not all on Cam Newton. They don't have the receivers. And also, like, the you know, I was very unimpressed with the play calling, just from a standpoint of, you know, and I'm not like an offensive coordinator, you know, telling these guys how to call plays, but from a perspective of, like, how would I want to get Cam Newton involved? If the game plan is hand it to a running back on first down, hand it to a running back on second down, and then have Cam Newton throw it on third and medium to third and long, that's a bad idea, right? I think it's a better idea to actually get him involved with his legs early on, kind of what they were doing in the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that took a toll on him or what, why they kind of stopped, you know, they kind of went away from that. But if you can get him involved with his legs early, it energizes him. And especially if he gets like a rushing touchdown, we've seen him. That's when he's at his best. When he gets the rushing touchdown and does the Superman, that's when he gets hype and he gets really locked in. Expecting him to throw the ball on anything further than third and four, it's just not gonna work. I mean, this isn't really new for Cam Newton either. We saw this in Carolina as well. I can remember as a Steeler fan, I remember when they played the Steelers on a Thursday night game. Steelers didn't put anybody farther than 15 yards from the line of scrimmage because they knew he couldn't throw. And they kicked the living shit out of the Panthers that night. And this has been the story with him. He doesn't throw the ball well down the field. He's a great athlete. If you can build that kind of a game plan to have him involved in the running game, I think it might work. But it's just so bad right now. And you know, I think they're done, which is what I predicted on our last week's pod when we talked about them. I think they're done. Let me ask you this. Are we ever going to see Cam again in an NFL game? Because here's my thought process in even asking that. Because normally you think, well, most guys who you know, have a bad run as a starter and then they end up as a backup. But I don't know if he's really someone I'd want as a backup just from a standpoint of, like, the way he plays is not really like – a backup. When I think of a backup, I think of like someone who's going to come in, make the right reads, and is going to be at least semi-accurate with the football, right? So think of like Colt McCoy right now with the Giants,
right?
Or someone like that. Like, the two things he does not do well is read the defense, pick up blitzes, you know, command the offense, you know, the line of scrimmage from that perspective. Right. And he's very inaccurate. I don't know if I'd want him as a backup quarterback. Do you think we're done with Cam Newton? Is this it for him?
No, but only because, I mean, I think someone will take him as a backup for sure. I think he actually had a lot of backup options coming into this year. I actually think he'd be best suited as a backup on a team like the Ravens, where their starter can't really throw it, so your backup doesn't necessarily need to be able to do that as well with the kind of offense that you run. You know, I think for teams that have mobile quarterbacks or run heavy offenses, I think he would be okay as a backup in those situations. You know, I could see him back in as a backup in Minnesota or, you know, even Houston, because, you know, your offense is designed around a mobile quarterback there. Kind of, you know, that's where I think he's the best fit as a backup. For me, I like having a mobile backup like that, you know, because especially when you're talking about a team where a quarterback goes down, in most cases, there's a bad offensive line there that's what resulted in the issue. So you need someone who can kind of have that escapability. Although that's not 100% Cam, he's more of a power north-south runner than he is like escaping out of sacks, but he can. So, like, you know, that's where I kind of see him as. So I don't think he's done. I think we will see him as a backup maybe somewhere else in the future. But I do think he's done as a starter. I think this is it.
I think he's got to be done as a starter as well. So kind of like Mark's – but they said they are going to roll with him for the rest of the year. So we will see him a little bit more. So, all right, let's move on to your team, the Philadelphia Eagles. They get more talk on this show than any other podcast for a, you know, terrible team. But important news, they changed quarterbacks this week. They are rolling with Jalen Hurts this week. Tough matchup to start his young career with the Saints. I'm interested in what you think about that. But what do we think about Jalen Hurts? Were you impressed last week? Do you like the move?
Well, to answer your first question, yes. I was impressed last week. I thought the ball moved a lot better. I don't even know that that's really disputable. The ball moved better when he was in there. He also has better pocket presence than Carson Wentz does. Already at this phase of his career, he was able to climb the pocket and make plays down the field. Carson Wentz is kind of, you know, not that he's not immobile, but he's 6'5", right? So like, and kind of long. So he doesn't have that agility. So if he gets outside the pocket, he can run. But as far as escaping sacks within the pocket, he doesn't have that ability. Jalen Hurts is much more elusive in the pocket than Carson Wentz is. And to be honest, with how bad this offensive line is, that's what we need, you know, at this phase of the season, because, you know, Carson Wentz doesn't get the ball out of his hands quickly to start with.
Yeah.
And you combine that with a bad offensive line, he's essentially a sitting duck back there. So that's the first thing, is that Jalen Hurst at least gives you the ability to take less sacks, or when there are sacks, they're going to be for less yards. Like when Carson was getting hit, his sacks were going for 6 or 7 yards. You know what I mean? And it's just like, that's really not helpful at all.
No.
Jalen Hurts, and when we go back through the Packers stats, I think got sacked one less time than him, but for like 13 less yards. I think Carson got sacked like 5 times for 22 yards, and Jalen was sacked like 3 for 9, something like that. And that's just where, and one of them was, he got tackled at the line. He got shoestring tackled at the line of scrimmage when he was about to scramble. So, you know what I mean? That's where Jalen, that's the first place where Jalen Hurts helps. He also gets rid of the ball quicker, if you ask me, when he does actually hit the back of his drop. The ball seems to get out of his hands. And all of a sudden, receivers are open when Jalen Hurts was on, at least in that game. All of a sudden, receivers were open. He made a beautiful throw down the sideline to Jalen Reagor, which, you know, that's the reason that they brought him in, was because he was supposed to be this incredible deep threat, as if Justin Jefferson wasn't. You know, that was, you know, I don't know. But we finally saw Jalen Reagor get a look on a deep ball, and he completed it. And then, you know, in that same drive or a drive later, you know, he climbs the pocket, makes a throw to Greg Ward for a touchdown. So, yeah, I thought he looked really good until the point they got to where, you know, they were just throwing the ball. So the Packers pass rush was kind of pinning their ears back, and it got to him a little bit. He's going to struggle this week, though.
Yes, he is.
And everyone should be prepared for that. But Carson Wentz was going to struggle this week. So really what we're doing here is taking these last 4 games, I would say, because I think he should be the starter for the remainder of the year. It's with Washington's win on last week. It looks like they're probably going to take the division. It'll be either them or the Giants.
Yeah.
Are likely going to be the ones that take the division. So why not evaluate the guy you spent the 2nd round draft pick on these last 4 games and say, okay, well, you know, is Jalen Hurts worthy of replacing Carson Wentz? Does he need more time? And, you know, do we kind of need to hold on to Carson and just resolve the issues that we have at other positions and kind of figure it out? So this at least gives you an idea whether you can move on from Carson Wentz or whether you need to keep him because Jalen Hurts isn't ready. Because at this point, the season is practically a wash. So I am interested to see how he plays against a tough defense. It is a tough start. They're kind of throwing him to the wolves here.
Definitely.
But it was time. It was time to make this decision. The offense clearly wasn't going anywhere under Carson Wentz. So why not give Jalen Hurts a shot and find out what you have in a guy you spent a pretty high draft pick on?
Yeah, I think you have to make the move. We've talked about this before, and it's like, you know, with the fact that the division is in striking distance, it's almost like Doug Peterson, who is really coaching for his job, is like, I have to try this because if I win this division, I probably maybe keep my job. Maybe, I don't know if he should either way, you know, depending on the record they finish with.
Right.
I think Hurts, you know, obviously he looked better than Wentz last week. And maybe something with Wentz, he needs to sit a week and just kind of regroup in a way. Like, just collect his thoughts of what is happening out there on the field. Maybe if he's watching for a week, things slow down a little bit if he does go back in there, which I don't think he will this season. I don't think Jalen Hurts is that good, personally. I don't really know because we haven't seen him in an NFL game yet. Just from what I know about him as a college player, I don't think he's like – this guy who is going to, you know, turn the league on fire. He just, you know, he doesn't have the size. He isn't super accurate, but we'll see, right? There's been success stories that were less likely. So I think it's the right move. Do I think that they are going to now win the division? I don't think so, because I really am liking what I'm seeing from the Giants right now and that defense. And I don't think the Eagles really have anything that would make me say, you know, normally, like, all year I've been saying, oh, well, I still think the Eagles are going to win because I still trust Carson Wentz, I guess. And there are the Eagles compared to these teams who haven't done anything. But like now it's like, well, Carson Wentz sucks, right? And he sucked all year, but now he's, you know, it's like his own team doesn't even believe in him now.
Yeah.
To the point where they're taking him out. So I definitely can't believe in him. And if they don't have him, I don't know what they have. So I think I have to roll with the Giants now. And as far as Jalen Hurts goes, he's going to struggle this week. You're definitely right. You know, this was a tough first matchup for him against the Saints. But, you know, maybe that makes all the other ones a little bit easier. And maybe he can, you know, see some things from the Saints defense that will help him going forward. I'm cheering for him. I hope he does well. We cheer for the Eagles in our household, so I hope they do well. But tough spot for the Eagles, tough spot for Wentz. I don't know what they do with that contract.
Yeah.
It's going to be almost impossible to – you can't cut him, I don't think. I don't think it's even possible to cut him.
Well, I think there's one possible suitor. Frank Reich?
Well, that is a good thought.
You know, they got a good offensive line. He had success under him. Philip Rivers is only on a 1-year deal, and you obviously brought Philip Rivers in because you don't believe in Jacoby Brissett. So they run the ball well, have some decent young receivers, Michael Pittman Jr., you know,
yeah.
Zach Pascal. So if they're, I think that's probably the only team where you can, where someone in that organization is like, hold on, I still can coach this guy. Like, I still, you know what I mean? Yeah. I still think I can get the most out of this guy. I think Frank Reich is the one person in the league that I just from, you know, I have no sources or anything like that that can confirm that. But, like, if there was anyone in the league who might be thinking that, I think it would be Frank.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And I wouldn't be surprised with that either. So let's move on and start talking about some games this weekend. Let's start with the Chiefs. And the Dolphins, fighting to hang on to a playoff spot. Chiefs fighting for a number one seed. Go ahead and preview this one.
Yeah, so Dolphins sitting at 8-4. You know, kind of tapered off a little bit there with the Tua injury and that bad loss in Denver. But
yeah.
Got back on track last week. And they're in that wild card playoff hunt out in the AFC East.
Yeah.
Actually, they're only a game back from first place on the Bills.
Yep.
So possibly they're still in the hunt for the division title as well. And the Chiefs haven't looked great, right? Over their last like couple of weeks, Raiders gave them a tough test a couple of weeks ago. And then the Broncos gave them a tough test on Monday night last week. They squeaked by in that one with a 6-point win. They beat the Panthers by 2 the week before they beat the Raiders. So last 3 weeks, they have like kind of barely squeaked by. And this Dolphins team, that defense is pretty tough. Like if there was a defense that you kind of had confidence in to at least slow down this Chiefs offense, I think the Dolphins are one of them. So Chiefs are 7.5-point favorites in this.
Yeah.
As a better, a fairly new better. I'm definitely gonna take the Dolphins in the spread there, right? I think that's a pretty good number for them.
Well, I think that's a good number for them because of what you mentioned about the defense and the Chiefs having this thing where they kind of play down.
Yeah,
I do think the Chiefs win this game.
Yeah.
And I think there is potential for a blowout here. Actually, there is potential, and here's why: the Steelers, who we're going to talk about, lost. The Chiefs can smell that number one seed, I think.
Yeah.
And they might finally, we've been waiting, you know, every week is with the Chiefs is like, we know they're way better than the team they're playing, but somehow it's close.
Yeah.
Maybe they put their foot on the pedal knowing that the number one seed is in reach. I think they're going to give Tua fits. I shouldn't say fits because that's a backup, but I think they're going to give Tua problems with Chris Jones on the front there and you know, the Dolphins, I actually am kind of selling my stock on the Dolphins. I think now would be a good time to place a Dolphins to miss the playoffs bet, which would probably get plus odds on you. If you look at their schedule down the stretch here compared to some of these other teams they're fighting with, it's not easy. It's not easy. Their easiest game is going to be in New England probably, or home against New England. Sorry. So I think I would be selling that stock right now. And listen, I mean, we really like the idea of the Dolphins. We like that defense and we want Tua to be really good. But I think when they match up here and the Chiefs are actually thinking about locking up a number one seed, or not locking it up, but fighting for a number one seed, they might put their foot on the throat here. And this could be the start of the fall of the Miami Dolphins. You know, something that I do as the season progresses is look at where we projected teams to be and where they are right now, and then almost try to take that as an indicator, because most of the time teams fall about where we think they were going to, right? So think of Tampa Bay. We all pretty much had them at 9-7, 10-6, 11-5 at best. That's probably where they're going to end up, even though they had their ups and downs in the season. Think about the even the Texans, right? So the Texans coming into the year, we're probably thinking they're an 8-8 team or maybe 9-7. They started off really bad. And then at that point, you're probably thinking, okay, maybe they'll reel off a couple. And they do to get towards that 8-8 record. And then they blow the one last week, which really would have had them on pace for that. I think that's a good indicator for teams. And when we're looking at the Dolphins, you know, think about how we thought of the Dolphins coming into this year.
Yeah.
We were thinking, what, 6 wins at best. Looking at the roster, I don't know if it's that good. I like the defense. I like the coaching. But I think that only takes you so far. So I think I'm going to start selling my Dolphins stock starting with this week. I'm not going to bet against the spread because I think you're right. You know, they could cover 7.5 pretty easily, depending on what Chiefs team shows up. But I do think the Chiefs win without real concern.
Gotcha. Yeah, so I do have the Chiefs in this one as well. I think this is a good test for a young Tua against a Chiefs secondary that's pretty good. You know, so I'm interested to see how he handles this one. I think that'll be a good game to watch. I do.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's move on to two other teams who are fighting for those AFC wild card spots. Colts also fighting for their division. Colts and Raiders. Raiders getting away with a miracle last week against the Jets. The Colts also stealing a game last week with the Deshaun Watson fumble towards the goal line.
Yeah.
So this is a big game. This is a huge game for playoff implications. Who do you like and why?
This is a tough one, man, because the Raiders should have lost last week.
Yes.
So before I give my pick, okay, I want to talk about the Jets' final play the Raiders' final play on that touchdown. That was the most obvious case of tanking I've ever seen in my life in any sports game, period. On like purposely losing a game. Never, and ESPN even came up with a stat afterwards, that since they've been tracking it, has a team in that situation rushed 7 guys where you have from 40-plus yards out with under 15 seconds left on the clock and a touchdown needed to beat you. Yep. No one has ever blitzed 7 people. Why? Because there's literally no reason to do that. There's no reason to do that. Even if you get – because even if you're worried about a completion does not beat you there.
Right.
The only completion that beats you is that 40-yard touchdown pass. Why would you leave all of your receivers one-on-one? Henry Ruggs, who even in his young career, he hasn't been great. He's one of the fastest receivers in the league, one of the best deep threats already. That's the one thing he can do is catch a 40-yard touchdown pass. And you left that guy one-on-one on an island with him. Come on, man. Come on. Well, that was the most obvious tank job ever. And then they fired Greg Roman for it. Like, you aren't purposely trying to lose that game.
Well, that's my thing is, like, okay, at first I was like, wow, that was obvious that they blew this game. But then they fired Greg Williams. It's like,
oh, yeah, Greg Williams, sorry.
So you didn't want him to do that? Like, you didn't want him to blow the game? Like,
right.
And I don't know, like, if – so that makes me think maybe they weren't tanking because they fired him for going rogue or whatever. But definitely, you know, someone had to have said something to him, right? I don't think he just went rogue. Maybe he did. Maybe that's why he got fired. Right. But, like, I don't think Adam Gase, like, has a reason to tank just because he's probably not going to be there. But the organization has a reason to tank because that gives them, you know, if they get Trevor Lawrence, not only do they get Trevor Lawrence, but they also have, you know, basically whoever head coach they want to come coach Trevor Lawrence. So,
yeah,
all right, exactly. go ahead and preview Colts Raiders.
Yeah, so that was shameful. But, two teams that probably should have lost last week. Like you said, Deshaun Watson had a bad fumble. So I think these are two teams that really should be coming into this week, like, prepared like they're coming after a loss. But to me, I like the Colts in this one. And I think the Colts have the better defense. I think they have the better running game. It doesn't look like Josh Jacobs is going to play this week. And even when he has played, their run game hasn't been super productive. And Derek Carr, strangely, has fallen off the last couple of weeks. You know, he, in my opinion, has played really well throughout the season. You look at his numbers, 3,027 yards, 22 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Like, he's been very good, smart with the football. But he was a little erratic against the Jets, if you ask me, in a game where he really should have lit them up. And prior to that, he struggled against a really poor Falcons defense. So, you know, it just – I don't have a lot of faith in him after two bad performances against bad defenses, you know, coming into a game against a very good defense like the Colts. So I'm going to take the Colts in this one. There's a three-point spread in this one, which is pretty fair. I think the Colts cover. I think they win this one pretty – soundly, I would say. Not nothing crazy, maybe 7 to 10 points, something like that. But I'm taking the Colts in this one.
Okay, I am pretty torn on this one. I really don't know who to take because I don't trust either quarterback, like you mentioned. I think both teams did probably deserve to lose last week. I think I'm going to roll with the Colts. And here's why. You brought it up. It's the run defense. The Raiders are really reliant on the rushing attack. Josh Jacobs, I think they're 5-0 if he rushes for 75-plus yards. I don't really love that stat because usually if you're winning, you're running the ball more anyway. But but I think it matters for them because I don't trust Carr. Even if he does play, I think the Colts, you know, they do a good job of bottling him up and putting the pressure on Carr. This one I really think could go either way. I do not feel confident about taking the Colts because of Phillip Rivers. But I will take them here if you're forcing me to pick, which you are. I'll take the Colts. So, all right, let's move on. Sunday Night Football, the Pittsburgh Steelers, my beloved Pittsburgh Steelers, got their first loss on Monday night in a game that they should not have been playing on Monday night. While the Cowboys and the Ravens got to wait an extra day and rest, and the Cowboys got a free bye week.
Lots of excuses here.
And the Ravens got to wait an extra day. That way they could get Lamar Jackson off the COVID list. The Steelers were thrust into action on 4 days rest against a good Washington team, and they lost. That's okay. So we as in the Steelers, are going to Buffalo Sunday Night Football to play a team who looked amazing on Monday Night Football against the 49ers, and Josh Allen, who looked also amazing himself against the 49ers. Do you think the Steelers can win this game?
Oh, absolutely they can. Especially because as great as Josh Allen, you know, played and really has played over the last few weeks, we know that Josh Allen has a tendency to fall off, you know, and be kind of streaky. There was a, you know, 2 or 3 week stretch, or might have even been 4 weeks earlier in the season where he was just, he was pretty bad. And this week he's facing a very tough Steelers defense. And you know, I think against a Steelers defense like this, his style of play actually bodes well for them, right? Because he's a guy and a guy that likes to throw the ball down the field or run himself. And the Steelers have one of the best pass rushes in the league. You know, granted, Bud Dupree's out for the season, so that doesn't help. But you still have T.J. Watt and a number of other guys who generate a great pass rush. So it's going to be interesting to see how he handles that pressure. I like the Steelers here. I think the loss was good for them. And I think it was a necessary loss when you talk about wanting to make a playoff run. I just think, you know, when you go into the playoffs undefeated, you don't necessarily have anything to kind of look back at and say, you know, okay, well, these are our issues. These are things we need to work on, you know, and kind of – find a way to hide some of our, the things that we lack, because it's hard to get, it's hard to tell a player how not good he is at something when he hasn't lost. You know,
no, definitely.
So you need that adversity. I thought Washington was a trap game for them. We talked about it actually on our last episode when Dave came on, you guys made solid points as to why Washington might win that game, and they went out and did it. And you know, to me, This Bills team isn't quite as desperate, and with the Steelers team looking to bounce back, I like the Steelers here. Buffalo is the favorite by 3 points.
Yeah.
So I think I'm taking the Steelers as a betting man in that one. But I do like the Steelers to win on the road in Buffalo this week.
So I gotta tell you, man, I'm kind of nervous.
As you should be.
As I should be, because listen, like, we lost two of our four best players on defense.
Yeah.
That's tough to recover from. That's very tough to recover from for any team. And I think, you know, we started to see that. And the running game is an issue. Connor should be back this week, which helps.
Yeah.
But we haven't been able to run the ball. Now, if you're asking me to pick against the Steelers, it's not going to happen. If you're asking me to pick Josh Allen against the Steelers, that definitely is not going to happen. I'm sure everyone is familiar with my Josh Allen stances, as well as he played on Monday night and has played the last couple weeks. I still think there's a little bit too much inconsistency there. But I am worried about my Steelers right now and how they are going to come back from this. Because, you know, if we can't run the ball, then a lot of this is going to fall on Ben.
Yeah.
I don't know if I love that proposition from my, you know, 17th year or 16th year quarterback. I don't know if I love that. Who's had, you know, a lot of injury problems. So I hope that we can figure something out with the run game. The defense, they're going to have to be able to generate pass rush. I know it's going to be tougher for TJ because, you know, the pressure that Bud Dupree took off of him, you know, and where now they can kind of focus in on his side of the line. That just makes it so tough. Somebody's going to have to step up.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take the Steelers. Of course, I'm going to take the Steelers. No surprise. But I am growing more and more worrisome about my team. So, and really can't afford a loss either. You know, and the thing is, like, you know, if we lose to the Bills, whatever, we're 11-2. But that number one seed is going to be really important. It's more important for us than it is for Kansas City, I would argue.
Yeah, because they are dealing with less injuries, right? Yeah. There's only one team that gets a bye this year. Mm-hmm. So that number one seed certainly matters.
Yeah, and we didn't get a bye this year in the regular season.
Right, yeah.
Another
experience. You got a fake one. Yeah, yeah.
Like a fake one. So, let's go to from Sunday night to Monday night with the two other AFC North teams that matter. And that is the Ravens fighting for a playoff spot after their win against the Cowboys on Tuesday night. I don't know how that game got moved to Tuesday night and the Steelers did. Against the Browns, who looked really, really good for 2.5 quarters anyway. Against the Titans, but they did win that game. So I think right now the stock is higher on the Browns, but I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on who you think is going to win.
Yeah, stock is certainly higher on the Browns, but let's look at their last, you know, five games. They've won four of their last five.
Okay.
Lost to the Raiders, beat Houston, beat Philly, beat Jacksonville, beat Tennessee. I think the only team on that of that five that you didn't expect them to beat would have been Tennessee.
Yeah.
And Tennessee almost clawed their way back into that game. Kind of turned into a shootout late there. But, you know, they certainly haven't – this offense certainly hasn't played a defense as tough as the Ravens one that they're going to see this week, at least over the last 5 weeks. So I think – and to your point earlier – you know, we look at where did we project the Browns to possibly be, you know, before the season as far as wins, probably at 9, max 10, right?
Yeah.
They were in that 8-10 range. They're at 9 already, right? So you have to expect some regression at this point. And this Ravens team has to win because they're third in the division right now. This is a must-win game for them as far as playoffs go.
Yeah.
So there's going to be an obviously hungrier Ravens team that we see here. My biggest concern, though, is their rush defense. Against a bad Cowboys offensive line, Zeke fared pretty well against them, you know, and I thought that game was a little bit closer than it should have been given the issues that Dallas has. And Baltimore's offense still doesn't really look all that great. Although J.K. Dobbins is starting to look a little bit better and better each as they give him more touches. I think that'll certainly help. But I still have concerns about the Ravens offense, and I have concerns about their run defense. Teams have been able to run the ball against them. But at the end of the day, I don't have a lot of faith in Baker throwing at Marcus Peters, Marlon Humphrey, and that Ravens secondary. You know, so I am going to take the Ravens in this one. They're 2-point favorites, so I picked the Ravens, and I'm going to take them to cover in this one as well.
I think I like the Ravens here. I think, and I don't really like either team right now. I know the Browns look good, but they didn't finish well, which is kind of surprising. You know, when we think of them as the running team, you know, finishing games would be the thing that we think they could do, but they didn't do it. Must-win game for the Ravens. I think I'm going to go – this is in Cleveland, right?
Yes.
I think I'm going to go Ravens. Must-win game. I'll take them in two, I think, pretty evenly matched teams. Let me ask you this. This is more fun question, I think, than picking the game. So we just talked about Josh Allen.
I think I know where you're going with this.
I think you do. we've got – Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson here. The much talked about 2018 draft class comprised of Baker, Lamar, Josh Allen, and Sam Darnold. We will not count Sam Darnold. He's obviously last in this discussion. Rank those guys. Rank those three guys. Who would you want as your guy going forward? Not what they've done so far, but going forward, rank those three guys.
Well, going forward, I would say Lamar still by far has the most upside of the three that we're talking about here, simply because of what he can do as a runner. And I think he's a decent thrower as far as inside the numbers. I think he's still very effective there. Really, his only flaw, and it's his biggest flaw, is his ability to throw it outside the numbers consistently. And, you know, if that's something that he can fix, and maybe, you know, reading defenses, stuff like that. I think those are things that if he can fix those, he becomes incredibly elite. And to me, you know, I like Josh Allen a little bit more than you do. You're not a fan of Josh Allen. I'm not a fan of him, but I like him more than you do. But
I like Josh Allen. Seems like a nice guy.
To me, he has similar flaws to Lamar. You know what I mean? Like, if we're talking about a guy that has to make the throw, Josh Allen's not in that discussion, if you ask me. You know what I mean? Or, you know, when I need a big play, he's not in that discussion of quarterbacks. I don't know if I'd rather have him making that throw than Lamar. But, like, if I'm going to have two guys where they're not people who I expect to make the throw, I'm going to take the guy who's more of a rushing threat than the other. Which is Lamar, because I do think his ability to run the ball makes your offense more dynamic just when it comes to read options and things like that. There's things that he can do that other quarterbacks just can't, and it opens those kind of things up for you. So I'd take him. I think Josh Allen's a definite and very close second, and Baker Mayfield is still a distant third for me, even though he's looked pretty good, right? But I think, like,
it was really good last week.
Yeah, you know, he kind of, to me, he's like a Kirk Cousins, where, you know, if you don't ask him to do too much, you know, then he looks really good. But when you get down or you get behind, or if you're playing a good defense and you need him to be elite, he's going to look god awful. So he's a distant third of that group for me.
Yeah, I think Baker's definitely third. It's tough. Those first two are tough.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather have Josh. Okay, moving on.
I knew you were going to say that. Moving on.
I think I'd rather have Josh. I think he can make – last couple weeks he's shown he can make some of the throws that we know Lamar cannot. But who knows? Tough year for Lamar. So, you know, I don't want to judge it just on this year. So, all right, we are now going to pick every other game that we did not talk about in week 14. You ready?
Let's pick them against the spread, too.
Pick them against the spread. Are we doing rapid fire here?
Yeah, rapid fire.
Okay. First one, Texans at Bears. Texans are giving 1.5.
The Bears are pretty bad, and the Texans have played a little bit better. I'm going to take the Texans. I'm going to take the points. I'm going to take Texans -1.5.
I think I'll agree with you. The Bears have looked pretty bad, and the Texans have Deshaun Watson, so I'll take Texans giving 1.5. Next one, Cowboys-Bengals. This is the Andy Dalton Bowl. in Cincinnati. Cowboys are giving 3.5.
I'm going to take the Cowboys by default.
Yep.
The Bengals QB play. I think if Joe Burrow was playing, I'd be taking the Bengals.
Absolutely.
But the Bengals QB favored. Play. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely. So I'm going to take the Cowboys. 3.5. I'm going to give them the points too.
I will take the Cowboys laying 3.5. Andy Dalton is a lot better than Brandon Allen. So,
yes.
All right, Chiefs at Dolphins, we already talked about. Cardinals are at the Giants. I was a little surprised to see the Cardinals giving 3.
Yeah.
On the road against the Giants.
Against the Giants team that's playing really well. And yeah. I believe, you can correct me if I'm wrong, yep. Danny Dimes might be back this week.
Yes.
Has his status been
I think announced? He's still
he's questionable. He's yeah. still questionable. But
yeah.
I think either with him or Colt McCoy, I'm taking the Giants here.
To win?
Yes, I'm going to take the Giants, which obviously I'm going to take them with the points as well.
Yeah.
Definitely against the spread. I'm definitely going to take them against the spread. Money line, I think you can go either way. But I like the Giants here. Must win to stay alive in winning the NFC East. Granted, the Cardinals kind of need a win here as they've been reeling. But I think there's more to Kyler Murray's shoulder injury than what is being put out there because he has not looked good at all.
I agree. And also, he's really bad against the blitz. The Giants blitz a lot, and they've got a really good defense. So I'll take the Giants as well, outright. Okay, Vikings are at the Bucks. Vikings, here they are, right? They're for a playoff spot. If they win this game, they're in the playoffs currently. They are getting 6.5 in Tampa.
I like the Bucks here. The Vikings are so run dependent, yeah. and the Bucks don't let anybody run on them.
True.
So I think that's why we see such a large spread here. I'm going to take the Bucks, but I'm going to take the Vikings plus 6.5 in this one because I don't love this Bucks team, and I don't smell a blowout here for a team like the Vikings that needs a win.
Yeah. I agree with you. Exactly, actually. I agree with you. I think the Bucks win, but I do like getting 6.5 points. I might buy that up to 7 just to square it off. Okay, Broncos are in Carolina. Panthers are laying 3.
This is a tough one. No DJ Moore.
Yeah, no McCaffrey.
No McCaffrey. I'm going to go with the Panthers. I don't love Drew Lock, but I would probably take the Broncos plus 3.
I'm going to take the Panthers both ways. Land the points and a win has nothing to do with me starting Teddy Bridgewater in the fantasy playoffs this week. Okay, Titans are in Jacksonville. They are giving 7.5.
Definitely Titans. And yeah. I am going to give them the points as well. Jags really don't have much to play for, but they've been competitive. I'm going to take Tennessee. I'm going to take the points. I think they win by double digits.
I think they win by double digits. I think the Jags see the Jets might F around and win a game here. So they're definitely not going to even try.
Yeah.
Colts Raiders, we talked about. Jets at the Seahawks. Seahawks laying 13.5. That's a lot of points.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Seahawks, but not with the points. Mm-hmm. Jets have been like weirdly competitive lately, and the Seahawks have been bad. They're going to win this game because the Jets don't want to win it, but I'm going to give – that's a lot of points. I'm going to take the Jets.
That's a lot. If it's 13.5, you almost always take the team getting that many in the NFL.
Yeah.
But I'm going to take the Seahawks, and I'm going to lay all those points. I think they maybe take out some frustration on the Jets this week. Okay, Packers at Lions in Detroit. Packers are laying 9 in Detroit.
That's another big number.
That's a huge number.
I'm going to take the Packers in this game. I'm going to take the Lions with the points.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take the Lions definitely with the points. Like 9 points, and they're at home. That's really, if you do the math of, you know, how many points you get just for being at home versus, you know, how many points you would get for being away or whatever, that's really as big a spread as the Jets-Seahawks game. I don't think – the Lions are that much worse than the Packers. Right. So I'll take the Lions with the points. Saints at Eagles, we didn't really talk about, but I think we're both in the Saints here.
Yeah, definitely.
Giving 7 on the road.
Yeah, I'm going to take both. I'm going to take Saints and the points.
Okay. Falcons, Chargers. Let me tell you guys, America, do not bet on this game. If you bet on this game, you have a problem. You cannot bet. You cannot bet on the Chargers. You cannot bet on the Falcons. But the Falcons are giving 3 in Los Angeles. I almost said San Diego.
Yeah. I am going to take the Chargers here. Because I think they're slightly better than what their record shows. I don't know. I like Herbert better than Matt Ryan this year. So yeah. I'm gonna take the Chargers, and I'm gonna take them +3. But okay. if you do bet on this game, there is a hotline on FanDuel that they give you to call for your addictions. Utilize
1-800-GAMBLER. 1-800-GAMBLER, people. So okay. Last one is Washington in not San Francisco. I think I don't know where they're playing in this game. Arizona, I think, because San Francisco 49ers cannot play in San Francisco because of health concerns by the government. So Washington is getting 3 at the Niners, the Niners.
I like Washington here. Niners playing in unfamiliar territory.
Yeah.
Another must-win situation for an NFC East team desperately trying to get in the playoffs. And Niners have been reeling a little bit. And I like Washington's defense against Nick Mullins, who I don't like. So I'm going to take Washington and Washington +3.
I think I will take the Niners here because I don't think the Washington is that – almost did it. Almost Washington is that good – and last week might have been their Super Bowl beating the Steelers. And I think I also like to do this thing gambling where one team, if they look good last week but they're not that good, and one team looked bad last week but they're not that bad, I'll take the team that looked bad but they're not that bad. I think that's a classic matchup here. So I'll take the Niners. So that's all the games. That's all we got today, NFL stuff. Elijah, please tell the people what is going on at the All In Network.
So we have a lot going on at the All In Network. For one, we have an app now. We have an app where you can follow our social media feed, listen to our podcasts, and actually get easy access to our website. It's available on the App Store and Google Play Store. We actually just had an update for the app as well, so go check that out. Makes it a little bit easier to navigate through the app. So that's one of the exciting things we have going on. No All In Politics this week. They will be coming back next week, so stay tuned. You can catch their last and latest episode where they talked about the future of the Republican Party, which is available on our YouTube channel. You can also find their feed on Apple, Spotify, Google Play Store, things like that. And last but not least, in the holiday spirit, All In Network merch is available at 40% off if you use the promo code ALLIN at our Teespring store. You can find the link to that website on our website as well at allinnetwork.net. 40%, that's a lot. That promo runs through Christmas Eve. We've got phone cases, sweatshirts, long sleeve tees, blankets. It's cold out there. Get you a blanket. We got mugs for you coffee and tea drinkers. What's better than a nice cup of hot chocolate out of an All In Network mug?
That is great promotion.
That sounds like a great Christmas Eve to me. So
make sure you grab some. I cannot think of anything better than All In Network, All In Podcast mug, watching me and Eli's faces on your TV talk about sports. You can't beat that. You can't beat that. Under an All In Podcast blanket.
Yes. So
guys can't go outside for a while, so order some stuff online and hang out.
And if you don't know, if you're like me and you don't know what to get your girlfriend or fiance or wife for Christmas, you know, there's nothing that she would rather have than All In Network merch. So just throwing that out there. It's a great Christmas gift.
Great Christmas gift. So all right, yeah, guys, head to the website, allinnetwork.net. You can find all the latest going on with us. If you are on this YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button, hit that notification button, So you know when we go live, which we did last week with our guy Dave Kluge to talk about fantasy football, make sure to catch up on that episode if you missed it and want some advice going into the fantasy playoffs. Great episode with Dave. So
yes,
that's all we got today, guys. Thank you for tuning in. This is All In Podcast, episode 58.
See you guys next week.